right here in Poway. And up until this past Saturday, our building was a building filled with light, with love, with joy, hugs, dancing, warmth, salvation. That's what Ichabod House is about. Saturday morning at 11:30, everything changed.
Yeah, I was going to, and so let's talk about that. If you can kind of take us through, Rabbi Goldstein, what exactly happened on Shabbat morning? It was both Shabbat and Yom Tov, so higher than ordinary attendance, I would imagine, a lot of people in town for Pesach, for Passover. So what exactly happened on a moment-to-moment level?
Well, it was the last day of Passover, and four times a year, we have a memorial service known as Yizkor. And many people have lost loved ones would come to do a memorial service. Miss Lori Kay, of blessed memory, may her soul rest in peace. Her mother recently passed away. This was going to be her second Yizkor. And she asked her only daughter, Hannah, to come down from L.A., from UCLA, to sit with her during the memorial service. There's a certain prophets that we read only on the last day of Passover. And that's the prophecy of Isaiah that prophesizes about the coming of the Messiah of Mashiach. It talks about who Mashiach is going to be, what the world would be like when the Messiah comes. And I reserve to read that every year. It's very personal to me because I grew up in 770 Eastern Parkway, and I used to hear the Rebbe read this Haftorah, and he would stop with tears of hope and faith that to help bring Mashiach. But the Rebbe saw what the world direction was going in, and he wanted so much for the new world order to occur with the coming of Mashiach. And that's what the Haftorah is all about. And I was excited, looking forward to taking the same emotion that I had when I was a kid listening to the Rebbe to share it with my community. So, towards the end of the Torah reading, I went outside to my office to freshen up, and that's when I met Lori, and she asked me what time Yizkor is going to be. I told her what time. I freshened up. I came back. Lori was still in the lobby. The lobby was empty. And I walked towards the ballroom where the washing sink would be. And as soon as I walked into the ballroom, I heard the very first loud blast. And I instinctively turned around to see where the noise was coming from. And to my shock and horror, I saw this unimaginable sight where a young teenager is standing and he's posing with his feet spread apart, like this in position, and holding his rifle towards me. It's after he shot a few shots already. Right away, I turned around and I knew I have to save the children. We had a group of children in the ballroom, and a couple of my grandkids were there. And I turned around, and as soon as I turned around, the shots kept on coming my direction. Bullets flying in all different directions. My young grandson was in a stroller, sleeping peacefully right in the line of fire. And I ran and I grabbed everyone as much as I was able to, not even realizing that my hand had been shot already. Once I got all the kids out to safety at the side patio, I came back in to try to alert everyone else. When I came back in, there was utter silence. And I had the worst of fears as ever, thinking that the worst massacre has occurred. Unbeknownst to me, that the shooter was attacked by two heroes of my congregation, a former Army soldier, Oscar Stewart. As soon as the miracle happened that the rifle jammed, he ran into action. He ran into the lobby, took a chair and threw it, and shouted as loud as he can on the shooter to scare the heck out of him, which succeeded. The shooter turned around and started to go towards his car. A off-duty Border Patrol agent, Jonathan, went in pursuit and had a gun and shot at the car, trying to stop him from to continue shooting, but he was unable to neutralize him, But the car did get some of the bullets, and shortly after that, the police apprehended him. I then surveyed the situation. I saw members were calling 911 on the phone, and they couldn't get through, which is very frustrating. At this day and age, we couldn't get through to 911. I, with my bloodied fingers dangling, went into my reception office, and I took the landline, because I remember that a landline is, you get better connection to 911 than cell phones. And I personally dialed 911, and I got, all circuits are busy. I dialed again and again, and I'm getting as frustrated as you could be. I left a pool of blood on the desk trying to dial. I finally got through, and the operator says, please hold. Then I finally got through, and I was just shouting at the top of my voice, active shooter. I gave her the address. And then finally, when the deputy showed up, I hung up the phone, and I went outside to assess the situation. And that's when I saw Lori Kay lying on the floor, unconscious. Her husband, trying to resuscitate her, passed out and fainted. And their daughter is crying over them. It was a sight out of a pogrom, like Kristallnacht, happening right there in 2019. At that moment, I went outside where the congregation was huddling, and I got up on a chair. I wrapped my hand in a bloody talus, and I screamed out as loud as I could, "Am Yisrael Chai, we, the Jewish people, are alive, will always be alive. No one can take us down. We just came from the Seder, Vihisha Amda Lanu. And every generation who tried to take us down, this will not happen here." And I spoke as much as I could to inspire everyone, to calm everyone down, until the paramedics forced me to get an ambulance. And that was, I haven't been back to synagogue since. And I haven't walked in yet, which I'm planning to do in about an hour for the funeral. But I have to tell you, Ben, the outcry and the love that we received internationally from Jews and non-Jews is indescribable. Yesterday, I got a phone call from our president, Mr. Donald Trump. God bless him. He spent 15 minutes with me, and he was so comforting and consoling that it was not only talking to the president of the United States of America, I was talking to a gentleman who felt my pain, who shared my pain and the pain of our community. And he went on to say how it pains him to see how anti-Semitism is on the rise. And we asked each other, what are we going to do about anti-Semitism? And he asked me what my thoughts are. And I told him, what I know best is what my Rebbe taught me. And when Ronald Reagan was shot, the Rebbe launched a campaign that we need to reintroduce into the public school system a moment of silence. Our children are being brought up in a godless country, in godless homes. They have no spiritual dimension introduced to them at any age. This has to change. We have to start from bottom up, from the beginning. Children in public school need to have a chance to have a moment of silence to think about themselves, to think about their purpose in life, to think about why they exist, and to value life, and to realize that each one of us has a soul. We're created in God's image. We are partners in creation. God wants us to make this world a better place. And there's a lot of darkness out there, and the only way we'll get rid of that darkness is through light. Ben, I lost a finger. I may lose the other finger. I pray I don't. But I'm alive. The finger is going to remind me of this amazing experience I went through. I use the word amazing because I survived it. Sadly, Lori did not. But Lori is counting on me to remember her, to remember her legacy, and to remember Am Yisrael Chai. The Jewish survival for 3,000 years, we've been running away from the tyrants. We were running away from the pogroms and the genocide, the Holocaust, the Inquisitions. Enough is enough is enough. I hope that this horrific event that happened at our synagogue right here in the heart of America, in Cowie, California, should be the last of these horrific, terrible events. And let America wake up to understand how the Jewish people love America, We're grateful for America. We love our president. We love how he loves Israel and supports us. We love the American people, and we want to live with you and live in peace. We came in peace right after the Holocaust. We contribute to America as much as we can because we appreciate the liberties and freedom that our forefathers have given to us. Let us learn from this darkness and push it away with darkness as much light as we can. And I plead to all of my fellow Jewish people, this murder, this terrorist tried to scare us out of temple. This weekend, find it in your priority to attend your local synagogue. Let's fill up the rooms. Do that for me. Do that as a favor to me to help me heal from this. Gentlemen, download an app on your phones called WRAP. WRAPP. It's an Uber tefillin. You get a chance to wrap tefillin. This morning, I woke up realizing that I can no longer wrap my hands with tefillin because my hands are bandaged. You can get up tomorrow morning, press that app, wrap, and put on tefillin. Ladies, I've been asked by Miss Dr. K, they're all Jewish women, and the Israeli radio will be publicizing it throughout Israel this Friday night. Light a candle for Shabbat in her memory. Her name is Leah Bas Ruvain. Let's light up the world. It will become a huge, huge torch, a flame to heaven that will push away all the darkness. And I'm praying and we hope for better times.
Rabbi Goldstein, thanks so much for joining the show. Thanks so much for giving a beautiful message. And Refuah Shleima, and obviously Baruch Dayan Emet. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And coming up in just one second, we are going to be getting to Rod